Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text Number 9. Tasmin kute hite nashte kritamale vanas patau vitapa iva shushanti Vishnu prana dvi vokasaha. Tasmin, when he, kute, the most deceitful, ahite, enemy, nashte, is finished, krita mule, having its roots cut off, Vanaspato, a tree. Vitapha, the branches and leaves. Eva, like. Shushanti, dry up. Vishnu prana, whose life is Lord Vishnu. Dviva okasha, the demigods. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the root of the tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul will lose the source of their life and wither away. Purport. The difference between the demigods and the demons is here explained. The demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dvavimo purusho loke, dvara, actually. Dvavimo purusho loke. Daivam ashram ashram. Where does that go? Dvavimo tsmin. Can I get Bhagavad Gita here? Dvo yo dvo imo purusho loke. Dvo bhuta sarg loke ismin daivam asram evacha daiva vishtra sak prota asrim partha me shinu. I will explain to you about the divine qualities. Now listen to me about the demoniac. And in another place, Krishna says, Dvo bhuta sargo leka ismin shara aksram evacha sarvani bhutani kutasta shara uchate. Then this world, there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine, one is called the fallible, and the other is called the infallible. And Krishna is beyond both the fallible and the infallible. What is the greatest and celebrated in the Vedas? That's me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dvo bhuta sargo created. Lokesvin daivam asram evacha. Yes. Dvo bhuta sargo lokesvin. In other words, we can choose. Either we want to be a demon or we want to be a devotee. Because the word demon here in most languages nowadays means someone with two horns and a tail and maybe a little trident. He gets a trident on his birthday. But actually, the difference between the demons and the demigods, or the asuras, and the suras, Krishna says, is that one follows his instructions, the others don't. Those who don't follow his instructions, they're put into illusion. So asuras are those who are in illusion, And demigods are those who know Krishna. Idam te yomam evam asambudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatama shastram idam yuktva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhimatsat krita krita shivarata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic literature. Whoever knows this becomes wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Everyone else is doomed to failure. Mogaisha mokha karmano, mokha jnana vicheta saha, rakshasim asrim chaiva, prakriti mohinim shritaha. Those who don't believe in Krishna, who thinks he's an ordinary personality, just like we're studying Krishna here, and people think, well, all right, they're studying Krishna, and we're studying Lenin, or we're studying Michael Jackson, or someone. So everyone has someone that they admire, and they have someone they admire. They admire some aborigine cowherd boy, comes from a remote village in India, who had so many questionable activities. So obviously they're a small sect, but hopefully they don't do very much harm. They think Krishna is one of the very many choices. You can become a devotee of Krishna, you can become a devotee of Michael Jackson, or so many other personalities. Bill Gates, whatever. You have a choice. They made the choice, some aborigine coward boy in Vrindavan. Therefore Krishna says, Abhijananti Mamuda, Manushim Tamana Ashvityam, Parambhava Majananda Mama Buddhameshram. The fools, they deride at my descending in this human like form, they don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all the be. Now, Krishna is said to be the possessor of all opulences, like beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. So, how can we believe Krishna has all these opulences? I can't see Krishna. I'm not really so sure if he's the one who's moving all these planets in their orbits. I'm not really so sure whether he's the most famous. One time they did a survey in the world and they found out that Cassius Clay, who became known as Muhammad Ali, he was the most famous person. So maybe he's more famous than Krishna. Of course, if you go to Brahmaloka and you say, do you know Muhammad Ali? And they say, who? Ali who? So we're doing a universal survey. According to the universal survey, last thing we've checked, Krishna is the most famous. God is the most famous. But we don't know that. We don't know if Krishna is the most beautiful. We can't see him, if he's the strongest, if he's the most anything. But we can find out if he's most learned, because we can study Bhagavad Gita. And if the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is perfect, then he's the only one who's actually written a perfect book or spoken a perfect knowledge. Even these other scriptures, they're full of contradictions. But at least Bhagavad Gita is quite consistent, because in Bhagavad Gita the conclusion is Krishna is God. And he explains how he's God. Not just he's full of all opulences, but he says that Kalasmi Varatarshava, time I am. Gama Vishecha Bhutani Daryamaham Ojasa Pushnami Chosidi Sarve Samobhubhavrasatmikaha. That I enter into the planets and by my energy they stay in orbit. So Krishna is giving us an explanation of how the universe is going on. We can see time is working everywhere. always it's working. Time never stops. No one can say, stop time. And then everything freezes and there's no more change and everyone just... doesn't work like that. Time is always there and always changing everything, but time is never changing. Therefore, Krishna says time is supreme. And that's our experience. There is something superior to us, namely time, which we have no control over and has control over everything, universally. Plus, if we examine Bhagavad Gita, Savasya Jaham Ridhi Sanavishto Matak Sritir Gyanam Apoanam Ja, that Krishna says he's in everyone's heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Now, our remembrance is not due to any particular effort on our part. Of course, we can try and memorize something, and then it may become more easier to remember it, but we may memorize something, we may know it forwards and backwards 10 years ago, and we can't even remember what it is. And yet there are things that we want to forget, and we just can't forget, called guilty conscience, or sometimes, or attachment, or sometimes people become infatuated or obsessive about something, and they can't forget it. It's one of the symptoms of madness. The same thing goes over and over and over and again in your mind, again and again and again, and you can't forget it. So if we were the controllers, then why don't we just say, forget it? Well, we can't forget it. Why don't we say, remember it? Why is it that we have put our keys somewhere and we're spending the next hour looking for them? And then suddenly I remember it. So who's causing all this? And what to speak of knowledge? We think we're this body. And yet we're not this body, according to Bhagavad Gita. According to this Bhagavad Gita, our body is changing. So who's going to deny that their body is changing? Anyone here want to say my body's not changing? Or you know someone whose body's not changing? Yes, your Hare Krishnas, unfortunately, when you became a Hare Krishna, your body started to change. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, your body is changing, so to be faithful to Krishna, we started to change our bodies. No, before we became Hare Krishnas, our bodies were changing. It didn't make any difference whether we were Hare Krishnas or hairless Krishnas, or hairy Krishnas. The body's always changing. And we can't stop it. No one can stop it. Every living entity in this material universe, their body is changing. But everyone who's conscious of their body had so many bodies. And therefore, the conclusion is, if my body's always changing, but I'm conscious of the fact that I had so many bodies, that I, the person who's conscious, am not changing. So that's knowledge. And if we don't accept that knowledge, we're in ignorance. It doesn't matter how much we learn it. We can tell exactly who's going to win every horse race for the next 300 years, but we're still in ignorance because we don't know who we are. At least we think we're something we're not, which is even worse. So who's giving us this remembrance? Your mother? Your grandmother? Why is it the same remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness? The same source of that is in everyone's heart because everyone is experiencing the same thing. Namely, sometimes we're remembering things. We're always remembering something. We're always trying to forget. We're always forgetting something. And we have a certain amount of awareness. And the real awareness would be if we realize that we're not this body. But there's another energy called ignorance. Because otherwise, if we're not this body and we think we are, there must be another energy influencing us called ignorance. And that ignorance is really the fact that we think we're this body. That's illusion. So who's controlling the whole thing? Krishna says, I am. I'm in everyone's heart. Otherwise, why is it so personally distributed? Remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Just like, for instance, if I want to remember a verse, like here, tasmin kute hite nashte. So if I want to remember it, if I remember it, doesn't mean everyone else remembers it, right? It's not that I'm going to study the verse, and because we're all one, suddenly you're going to remember the verse too. Or if I forget the verse, then everyone else forgets the verse. No, it's all individualized. The remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness for every living entity, even your cat or dog, has it her or his individual remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness being supplied, just like the teacher instructs the student or the father instructs the son, so that guide is there in everyone's heart. So who can deny that? Who can say there's no such thing as time? Who can say there's no such thing as a changing body? Who can say there's no such thing as a guide within everyone's heart, instructing everyone and causing remembrance and forgetfulness? Who can claim that? Which sane person can say these things don't exist? And it's all there in Bhagavad Gita. That's what Bhagavad Gita is all about. All systematically laid out. How we're, because of our attachment, illusion to this material energy to become the lord or the enjoyer, how the illusory energy is putting us all into illusion due to the fact that we want to control and exploit the material nature independently of Krishna. So that's called the demons. But then Krishna says, Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyastito gyatva shastram vidanokta karma kartam iharasi. Once you know what's to be done, what's one's duty, and what's not one's duty, by the instructions of Shastra. And knowing such duty, one should act so one can gradually be elevated. So we say, well, we're not into Shastra. We just chant Hare Krishna. But there are so many people chanting Hare Krishna, and they're also not into Shastra. The Sahajis also chant Hare Krishna. The Mayavadis, they even chant Hare Krishna. But the result is that they don't go back to Krishna because they don't accept Shastra. Now, what part of Shastra we're applying? Well, Krishna says, what is his, he says, I'm God. And what's the implication of that? He says, Sarva Dharma Purja, give up everything and surrender to me, which means follow his instructions. So what are his instructions? Well, they're there in the Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. Offer something with love and devotion to me. And anuvega, what is it? Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam socham arjavam brahmacharyam ahinsam cha shariram tapa uchite. We have to engage in some kind of austerity. So what is that austerity? It's the austerity that Krishna asks us to. Deva, to the demigods, for the supreme, dvija, to the twice-born, guru, to the spiritual teachers, pragya, to the learned. So, what is our duty towards them? Deva, dvija, guru, pragya, pujanam, worship. These are the persons we're supposed to worship, not Michael Jackson and Bill Gates or whatever. These are representatives of Krishna. Deva dvija guru pra pujam socham, and we're supposed to be clean. And arjavam, simple, truthful. The two most prominent brahminical qualifications are truthfulness and cleanliness. Pujana arjavam, socham arjavam. Brahmacharyam and celibacy, the most important principle, because the whole material world is based upon imitation of Krishna, trying to become the enjoyer and the controller. Pujanam, socham, arjavam, brahmacharyam, ahimsam. And if we're actually give up lust, then we'll also give up anger and frustration and envy, and we'll become nonviolent. So these are symptoms of a person who's actually controlling their senses. But we can control the senses, but what about it comes out as anger? We're trying so hard to worship and to control our senses, our material desires, especially lust and anger. But it comes out, we say things at the wrong time to the wrong people. Therefore, Krishna says, Anuvega karam vakyam sattva prihitam chayat swareya abhyasanam chayva vangmana tapuchate. We also have to control our power of speech. And what does that mean? We just tell the truth. I look at your face and I say, you're ugly. What do you mean I'm ugly? Well, I just want to be honest, Prabhu. I just want to tell the truth. So is that what honesty means? I really want to tell you the truth, Prabhu. I hate you. I hate the way you look. I hate everything about you. I just want to be honest with you. So is that the truth? Or is that illusion? Or partial of the truth? So Krishna says, the truth is not just satyam. Just tell everyone what you think is the truth. The truth is anuvegam. Don't agitate people's minds. Karam vakyam satvam. It should be truthful, but priya. It should be pleasing also. Say the truth in a pleasing way. And it should be hita. It should be beneficial. Not that I just say whatever I want to say that I think is truthful, and I say it in a nice way, but it has nothing to do with helping anyone except for myself, or just to hear myself talk. It should be beneficial. It should do something to help people. We're not here just to tell people what we think. We're here to benefit people. Becoming an instrument of Krishna doesn't mean that we get a free ride back to Godhead. It means that we become an instrument to fulfill Krishna's mission, which is to help everyone else go back to Godhead too. If we become an instrument, we'll go back to Godhead, and as an instrument, we'll help others to go back to Godhead too. You can't have it one way or the other, especially in Kali Yuga. You can't become an instrument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and sit in your room and watch television. It doesn't work. Or you go out and you spread Krishna consciousness, but you have no idea what you're doing. The only thing you're looking for is when the scores are read. And they say, so-and-so did so many books. God! It's all right, it's all right. No, hita, we're supposed to work for the benefit of others. Priya hitam jaya. Swarayaya bhyasanam jayava. And it should be according to the scripture. We don't invent things. We should be servants of Shastra. If we don't hear Krishna directly in our heart, then we have to hear Shastra. And then, according to our sincerity, Krishna will be talking to us through Shastra and Guru and Sadhu. He'll reveal reality to us through them, and according to our sincerity, Krishna will reveal those Gurus, Sadhu, and Shastra within our heart as the super soul. That he's talking to us outside, but he's talking to us inside according to our receptivity through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. He's revealing to us as the super soul what they're actually saying. So Shastra is there. Manak prasadam samyatvam monamatma vinigraha bhava samshudir ityetad tamo manasam uchate. There's also the mind. All right, I'm controlling my body. I'm saying the right things. But in my mind, you know, I'm Tarzan or Romeo or something. Or Bugs Bunny, who knows. No, we have to control our minds also. And what is that? Manak prasad. Satisfaction. Now that we're walking around, looking around what's wrong with everyone and everything. The only person who's perfect is me, because I can perfectly understand what's wrong. That's my perfection. And if everyone surrendered to me, then everything would be all right. No, prasada means one is satisfied in any circumstance, because one is Krishna conscious. And therefore, there's nothing to be added, nothing to be lost, because one has the highest state of consciousness in Krishna consciousness. At least one is cultivating that consciousness, knowing that even if I lose something, I don't have to lose my Krishna consciousness. And even if I gain something, it may not help my Krishna consciousness at all either. So there's nothing to gain or lose except for Krishna consciousness. Manak prasad, and one is satisfied with that understanding. Manak prasad, somya tvam, in any case one is equi-minded in happiness and distress, loss or gain. This is, Krishna says, chitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukadukeshu tita mana pamaniyo. For one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, it becomes the greatest enemy. One has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. He has attained tranquility. To such a person, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold are all the same. Manak prasadam somyam. Monam, gravity, sometimes translated as silence. But one should think before one speaks. One should speak on behalf of Krishna, what Krishna would like. And again, that speaking should be pleasurable. We're not going to convince people, develop love of God, you fool. If you don't develop love of God, you're going to hell and you're going to burn. Sure, I'll do it. I'll love God. God, please don't hit me. I'll love you. Don't hit me, please. No, it should be pleasing. It should be beneficial. It should actually be according to the person. Not that I have something on my mind, and the first person I see is you, and I say a few things, and fire emanates from my mouth and burns you to ashes. You never want to see me again in the next 20 years. But I got it off my chest. You got burnt, but I became happy. No, we should actually say things which are beneficial to people, that they actually should be, that Krishna wants them to hear. And it shouldn't agitate their minds. It should be pleasing, beneficial, truthful, according to Shastra, and shouldn't agitate people's minds. Monam Atma Vinigraha. Atma Vinigraha. Control of the self. So, our minds should be controlled. Control of the mind means to find out what Krishna wants us to do. And not jump to whatever comes through our minds, whatever we become attracted to. Then we become anxious to fulfill that desire. No, controlling the mind means controlling our desires. Self-control. The only thing we can do is desire. We're not the direct doer of anything. But we control which desires we can accept, which desires we can become aloof from. That's self-control. Self-control means that I'm a spirit soul, so I should choose desires that will help my spiritual activities. That's self-control, real self-control. Bhava sham sudhira ityeta. And I should do things that are purification, that will not put me under the spell of lust, anger, and greed, but will actually fix my mind upon Krishna, and as my mind becomes fixed on Krishna, then in the ecstasy and the love of Krishna consciousness, the contamination of material existence will gradually be burnt to fire, like fire turns firewood to ashes. So, manak prasadam somya tvam monam atma vinigraha bhava samshudir etye tat tamo manasam ujite. So there's things we're supposed to do. Not that I chanted my rounds and now I'm free to do anything I want. Think anything I want, say anything I want, because I'm a good boy or a good girl. Krishna will protect me because I chanted my 16 rounds. No, we chant nicely, then we should be aware of how to speak, what to do, what to think, and how to see things. And then we'll be able to develop our service attitude towards Krishna by serving his instructions. If we don't accept what's proper to do, we don't accept the proper way of speaking, we don't accept the proper way of thinking, then how are we going to make any advancement in Krishna consciousness? It's not possible. On the other hand, if we try to cultivate Krishna consciousness, it includes these things also, so that we can actually cultivate Krishna consciousness in the most effective way. So we won't be the elephant bathing. We go into the purification of a big kirtan, like we sometimes have kirtan melas. People come for 3 days or a week. They constantly chant Hare Krishna. They feel great. And they go back and they get back into their regular mundane routines. I had someone record all the serial on the television that they missed while they're in the Kirtan Mela, they go back and spend a marathon the next week watching all the reruns. So that's called Hasti Snan. If we don't cultivate knowledge of what to do, then we won't be able to sustain our Krishna consciousness when we're in unusual circumstances, when we're in circumstances where we're not directly associating with devotees, or we're not directly participating in sadhana. As a matter of fact, if we were engaged in sadhana every day, that would be the perfect mela. 365 days a year, we should be engaged in the Harinam Mela, the Kirtan Mela, by just attending the program. Imagine if you attend the program every day for 2 hours, so that's 700 hours. How many Kirtan Melas last for 700 hours? But we can't be always in the Kirtan Mela. Therefore, we have to learn how to act according to Shastra for Krishna, ultimately, how to serve Krishna, but the way Krishna wants us to serve. He wants us to say things that are beneficial. It wouldn't make any sense, oh yes, you're my devotee, say any kind of nonsense. Tell people to jump off a bridge. Yes, sir. You're a devotee of Krishna, I do whatever you want. I'll jump off. Which bridge? No, Krishna wants us to say things which are beneficial to help people make advancement in Krishna consciousness, which are pleasing, because people won't listen to us unless it's pleasing. Krishna wants us to say things which are truthful. Not that we tell people all kinds of lies, which they find out later, but we say it in a nice way, for their benefit, of course. Because they won't have any faith in us. And we have to say things which don't agitate people's minds. Not that I have a club called the, you know, Krishna Conscious Philosophy, and I'm going to say things that are beneficial for you, Prabhu. I'm going to say things which are pleasing. I'm going to say things which are following Shastra and which are whatever. But actually what I want to do is hit you over the head with this club called Krishna Consciousness, just let you know who's the boss. So I've said everything perfectly, and you walk away, your mind is completely agitated. You won't follow anything I've told you, because all you can do is resent me for agitating your mind. So all these qualities we have to cultivate, and the effect of it should be that people actually take up the process of Krishna consciousness and develop it from just hearing about Krishna to practicing Krishna consciousness, to becoming serious about practicing, to actually committing themselves to service on a regular basis, to actually dedicating their lives in the service of Krishna and to spreading Krishna consciousness. So everyone we meet is on a different level, and our success will be if they go from one level to the next. Not that I did everything perfectly and the person gave up Krishna consciousness. The operation was successful, but the patient died. No, we can see if people actually take up Krishna consciousness and go from one level of commitment and understanding to a higher and higher level, then we'll actually see that we're being effective. And we'll also become more committed and go to higher levels of Krishna consciousness if we take it serious enough to learn the art of giving people transcendental knowledge with transcendental discrimination and expertise. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So we need to get knowledge, practice Krishna consciousness with knowledge. And here in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu, whom Srila Prabhupada in some places does call a great jnani, funnily enough, speaks some things that are correct about the spirit and even about Vishnu, and then in the same verse he wants to kill Vishnu. So how come that he He seems to even call Vishnu the Supreme Lord, and then the very next line he wants to how can he hope to kill?
Well, I don't remember him ever calling Vishnu the Supreme Lord. He thinks that he's the Supreme Lord. He thinks, first of all, the demigods, he's already conquered. He'll conquer the demigods. The demigods are no big thing. And if Krishna is the head of the demigods, he's another one of those people Hiranyakashipu would like to conquer. But as far as thinking he's the Supreme Lord, he definitely doesn't think he's the Supreme Lord. When he asked Prahlad, he said, "Who's your God, Prahlad?" When he finds out that Prahlad thinks that Krishna is God, or Vishnu, he becomes very angry. Because he thinks he's God. He thinks he's the most powerful person in the universe. Yes.
Why then he worshipped Brahma and asked blessings and didn't try to kill Lord Brahma? Apparently,
Brahma
hated.
Kept his distance. To kill Brahma, because Brahma gave him the benedictions. Why should he want to kill Brahma? He thought, now Brahma said that I have to die, but now he's given me 100 benedictions. And Hiranyakashipu thought, well, now I'm above Brahma because I'm not going to die. So often the demons, they take benedictions from others and then they think they're better than them. Look at Vrikrasura. He took a benediction from Lord Shiva, and of course he tried to kill him so he could steal Parvati. So that's the nature of a demon. They're ungrateful. Yes.
In the verse about austerities, austerities of the body, Krishna mentions Arjavam. So here the translation was simplicity. But also Arjavam is sometimes translated as honesty or truthfulness. So how does it apply to the body? What is the... Could you maybe say a few words about this simplicity?
Oh. Yeah, you use the body in Krishna's service. You use the body according to Shastra, then you're being honest. It belongs to Krishna. You're not God. Otherwise, everything else, if you're using the body for sense gratification, you're being dishonest. You claim that you're the Supreme. It's the ultimate dishonesty. Yes.
Since you mentioned sense gratification, maybe I can bring up a question that I was asked by some rather well-to-do devotees, very well-to-do devotees. So they said, what does avoiding sense gratification mean for us? It seems that we can use everything for Krishna. We have nice prasadam and everything is nice. We do service. So how do we know that this is sense gratification and this is all right, this is engaged in service? What is the sense gratification that we need to avoid?
Well, there's three things. Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller, and Krishna is the friend. So, whatever one is doing, if one acknowledges everything here belongs to Krishna, somehow or another Krishna gave me this to use in his service, and we follow Guru Sadhana and Shastra to utilize Krishna's energies in his service, and we do it to please him, and we remember Krishna, then that's Krishna consciousness. And if one of those parts is missing, then we're in Maya. Then we're in delusion. It's sense gratification.
So a tasty sabji is okay?
If you remember Krishna while you're eating it. You eat it for Krishna, you don't eat it too much. You follow Krishna's instructions. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta chetas vikarmasu, yukta svapnu vodasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. Yogi atyahara priyasascha prajapa niyamagra. Don't eat too much or eat too little. Eat what's yukta hara, what is necessary for Krishna. You do it for Krishna. Then a tasty sabji is very nice. But for brahmachari, not too tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.